You can turn your Bibles to Philippians 3. Actually, we'll be in verse 10 mostly, and I think verse 11. And the title for today's sermon is The Results of God's Righteousness. We looked at the different types of righteousness there are, and now we're getting into the results of that. So, get to actually see what all this righteousness applies to. Before we get started, let's take a moment of silent prayer so we can get in tune, get in fellowship, get in harmony. And for us, that entails confession of sin. 1 John 1:9 tells us if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, so that we can then carry on righteously and grow spiritually and mature and apply the Word of God. So let's do that, and let's do that now. Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank You for Your amazing grace. We're always watching You work, even when we don't know where it's coming from. We realize that it is You behind the scenes, and we thank You for everything You provide us. Thank You for everything that You do. We ask for Your guidance and Your word. We ask for understanding today. We know that timing is always accurate when it comes to the Scripture and its exposition, and we pray for concentration on that. We just thank You for everything You do for us. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. So, just to get back into it, I'll start reading from verse 8, starting in chapter 3. It says, "More than that, I count all things to be lost in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish, so that I may gain Christ and may be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith." Verse 10, "that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead." So, we can see from a high level why Paul has been writing about the importance of gaining Christ. If you remember, that was a spiritual investment. We've talked about what we invest our time in, our thinking in. And Paul, the word he used was actually an investment. We invest in something that we desire a return on. And the only thing that we can possibly have a return on are the things that which are spiritual and those things that we invest in. And that's why he's saying, that's why he explains it in a form, and the words that he uses are talking about value. Value. He wants us to get the most value, the most bang for our buck when it comes to what we invest in, where we spend our time, who we spend it with, what do we do every day, day to day, where are our thoughts lingering most of the day or some of the day or all of the day. He's telling us where we should be and what the rest of that value is, and he called it rubbish, which you remember the word, it's excrement. So basically, the meaning of that was there's no value to it, to anything else besides what we invest in our spiritual life. And so he did a good job at that. And then he said they were actually disadvantaged. So you know and I know that the more time we spend, or whether it be a physical investment or a mental investment, they can always be a disadvantage. When they're not spiritual, they can be good things. But when you don't have them in the right priority list, they become disadvantages. And what I mean by that is they distract you from the plan of God. And many things can do that. actually anything can do that in the physical sense. It could be people, it could be things, it could be animals for that matter. Anything can distract you from God's plan for your life. That's what we're in a world full of distractions. If we don't keep them in their perspective, that's exactly what they are, is distractions. So he mentioned these things first, before he mentioned this value, before he mentioned being gaining and being found in Christ. And that makes sense. Because remember, gaining, what that entailed, that was our spiritual growth. Seeking, finding, consistently gaining Christ to be found in Him. That's occupation with Christ. In order to do that, what do we have to do? Invest. We've got to invest. We've got to spend the time. We've got to get in the details. We've got to know what the Word of God has to say. And so that's how we must think about the details of life before we can ever come close to being found in Christ, to being occupied in Christ. Yes, you are positionally in Christ. That's not what this verse is referring to. You're a believer, you are saved. Paul is talking about what you're thinking, your spiritual growth, your maturity level. You have to come to a different understanding about life itself. Remember, this is a physical versus spiritual in your thoughts. Where is the priority? Where is the importance? What are you putting priorities on? And that's where he was going with that. So gaining was the consistent seeking and finding and the discovery process of our spiritual growth. That's what we do right here, right now. We're discovering, we're finding. It's what I do. It's what you do too. We're all part of that. We seek, we find, we discover, we take that in, and we can accept, reject, and then what happens from that point is our thinking has changed. The Word of God, absolute truth, has a way with us where we bounce that off of things in our soul, and we can then think with those doctrines and apply them to our life. So the result of that is what? Your life is different. Your way of living is aligned with the Word of God at that point. So that's what the whole gaining entailed. That was consistency. So, and that was the reference, remember, to being occupied with Christ. So naturally, that's why Paul rolled into the two different types of righteousness, because if we're going to do this, we've got to do it in the correct procedure that God has aligned in the Scripture. Remember, we already looked at the two different ways. There's a lot of people so-called living the Christian way of life, but you got to ask, which type of righteousness are they using? Is it self-righteousness or is it God's righteousness? And that's what they have to ask themselves. But Paul's pointing them out just so we can say, okay, there are two different kinds, and we as believers are capable of both of these. Because when we get out of fellowship, guess where we're at? Self-righteousness. We're in that path of not necessarily glorifying God, but we're there in a different position in our thought process. See, our motivation has changed. When we get out of fellowship, we're not necessarily glorifying God, but we're glorifying self. We're on a new mission now. We want the glory. We want the credit. We're not occupied at that point where our motivation is to promote, not promote or glorify God, but to promote self or other people. It can be it's always a physical versus a spiritual thing. So it's easy to slip off into that. So, and we had talked about that even though we do have God's righteousness from the get-go, remember it's imputed to you from salvation, we have it there available to us, we still sin. So that's where why Paul mentions this experiential type of sanctification, your Christian growth, your walk, is because there's two different kinds of walks in this life. One counts and one doesn't. And unfortunately, there's a lot of people walking spiritually and they are defining those spiritual terms in that walk on their own. And that's not a good place to be. Because what will happen is you will be deceived, because you will get all the credit, you will get the promotions, you will feel very good about yourself, but when at the end of the day, guess what? We're all held accountable. We all have to answer. We all have to transition to the next life. And there's no more physical at that point. We're in the spiritual realm. So we have to answer to, was I walking correctly? Was I growing spiritually in the correct way that God has aligned in the scripture? So that made sense when Paul brought that out, because unrighteousness and righteousness don't go together. They don't go together. And we're the ones that add that oil into the water. And we try to shake it up. And that's trying to walk in that righteous way without excluding the unrighteousness. Remember, that was excluding the sin through confession of sin. But what ends up happening if you don't do that? They'll separate. If you ever put water and oil together, they always separate. You can't mix those two together. It's just like sin. Righteousness and unrighteousness don't go together. That's why we have confession. And that's important, because then you can just toss the oil out. Toss it out. So, and all this means is that we said the different types of righteousness had to do with what is called being a carnal Christian. When we're out of fellowship and we're walking in such a way, we're just simply out of fellowship. But that's not a problem. We already talked about, because God designed the spiritual life to be lived even though you have a sin nature. We're not perfect. God knew that. That's why He designed a system that Christ died for every single sin on the cross, that even when you commit that right now today, that can still be confessed and instantly forgiven. Nothing to do with your salvation. I'm talking about a day-to-day walk. Day-to-day walk. It's all about being in or out of fellowship. So if you look at this as a whole, what Paul is talking about is he's really talking about being an effective Christian. If we wanted to, you know, put a big title on this, we could say, I could have titled this, what is being an effective Christian? An effective Christian. If anyone wants to be effective, I do, I hope you do, Paul's laying this out. This reminded me of the, I don't know if you ever worked in a place where there have been people there for a really long time. And sometimes what happens to people in corporations like this that have been there for a really long time is they get lazy, they get set in their ways, they become unproductive. They're in no fear of losing their job because no one's going to fire them. And all of a sudden, they just become this dead weight in the company. You can't get much done through them. And they don't really care because, like I said, they're not threatened by losing their job. That's the kind of Christian we don't want to be. We don't want to take everything for granted and not take advantage of what we've been given to be efficient, to be effective, and to keep moving forward. I always wondered why they never quit, but I mean, they're getting a check, so why would they quit? You know, complaining every day and being stagnant at work is not a good place to be, but when you're getting paid to do it, I guess it's not that bad. But we don't want to be that kind of Christian. We don't want to take everything for granted and complain and say, you know, what if this? I should have had this. I should have had that. No, we want to walk in a manner that is worthy to be a Christian. And that is in righteousness, as Paul meant. That's effectiveness. That's what he's talking about. So, and this reminded me of, and I was just talking about this, that this reminded me of just how we function day to day, how we carry ourselves throughout the day. We always hear the statement, as do everything as unto the Lord. And what I saw recently was, I saw a man working. He was building something. He was measuring a board, and he just stopped for a moment and he said, "You know, just like the Bible says, he says we should do everything as unto the Lord." And he was referring to a measurement on a piece of wood. And it struck me, and I thought, you know what? He's right. That's full-time Christian service. That's effectiveness right there. When you're in fellowship, no matter what you do, can glorify God. And that includes taking out the trash. That includes cutting a piece of wood. That includes hammering a nail. Every single thing we do can glorify God, because if we have that motivation behind us, that's the details that you're living every day. That's your everyday, everything you do. If we could keep that in mind, that's the best way we can do to be effective. That's the most we could do. Stay in fellowship and do everything as unto the Lord. Because that, at that point, we do have the correct motivation. In God's righteousness. And what are we doing? We're glorifying God in every single thing that we do. Everything. Everything. That's the whole idea behind full-time Christian service. We always hear that, but that's what it means. It means constant, 24/7. I know we're incapable of that, but technically that's the goal. 24/7 full-time Christian service is what we're aiming after. So remember, he's talking about being occupied with Christ. And so when you are occupied, guess where everything you know comes from? Christ. Your motivation in life. Your happiness. Your love for other people come from Jesus Christ. Every single thing, the way you live, the way you carry yourself, the way you work, you're motivated not because of people around you, because of Jesus Christ. And that just changes your entire perception. Things are not depressing because of what is around you. Things can't be depressing because of what's in your soul. That's an impossibility. We just have to come to realize that, okay, this is what I have. Wow. I just need to wake up and say, this is the amazing part about being a Christian, is that you carry this wherever you go, wherever you work, whatever conditions you're in, hot, cold, bad, it doesn't matter. This is inside your soul. It's a spiritual issue here. And that's effectiveness. And actually, that's what the maturing Christian life entails. This is actually enjoying what you're doing, because you know that you're on a different kind of mission. You're in service. It's not necessarily that you're doing it just to do it, or you're doing it because you're working for this guy or that person, or no. We're doing it because we're in service. We're believers in Jesus Christ, and we want to be effective Christians, and our motivation is to live in accordance with His Word. That's the end goal. That's the end game. We want to live in accordance with His Word. That's where we're at. Colossians 3:23. This is where this idea comes from, and I have a slide on this. It says, whatever you do, do your work heartily. It's literally, this word is, do it from your soul. That's what that word means. As for the Lord rather than for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. It is the Lord Christ whom you serve. That's the verse right there. And there's many other ones like it. The first part starts, whatever you do, that first do is subjunctive mood. That's not a guarantee. It's whatever we do, that's a decision. Each decision in whatever we do can be as unto the Lord, or it may not be. But look what it says. The next do is the imperative. It's a command. It may not be, but you're still commanded to do it as unto the Lord. So there's no excuse, actually, when we don't do it, as when we do it not unto the Lord, because there's the imperative right there. That's it. Do it from your soul. That's what the word means. From your soul, rather than for men. So this verse right here, this is in the context of Christian slaves. This is who this is talking about. Christian slave. Paul is saying, even in slavery to men, their work can be done as serving the Lord, not man. That's about as powerful as you can get. We're talking about people that are slaves to other men. And Paul is telling them this. He's saying, you're not working for them. You're working serving the Lord. Guess what? Attitude flip. Can you imagine? You think they would want reparations? No, because they're not working for men. They're working for the Lord. There's a big difference there. So slavery, that's being an effective Christian in every single thing that we do. Sweeping, doing dishes, measuring, taking out the trash, building, painting, or maybe just sitting on the porch and relaxing. You can do it all as unto the Lord. Every single bit of it. So, and after Paul explains what proper procedure looks like, because that's what he did. He told us about righteousness, told us about gaining and being occupied. And then he now begins verse 10 with a construction consisting of an article and an infinitive. And what that does in this case is it gives us purpose. It gives us purpose. We're about to hit the purpose of why we're just talking about all this righteous type of living and the right type of righteousness. For the purpose of, or purpose is indicated here, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. So this, that I may know him, this is the first purpose that we have of growing and glorifying God in his own righteousness, so that we may know Christ. You see the word in green, it's gnosko. It means to come to know, to learn, to perceive, especially through personal first-hand acquaintance or experience. Now that part right there is important. First-hand experience. First-hand knowledge. So this is to know someone by a first-hand exposure or experience with them. That's what this word is telling us. Not just know them from afar. First-hand means to receive from the original source, is what the word means. Original source. So for us to have first-hand knowledge and knowing Christ means that his word is the only way to get exposure. That is it. That's it. There's absolutely no way around first-hand exposure that has to be from his word. Has to be. It has to be. And you might think, well, duh, that's a no-brainer. It really is a brainer when you look at the world. Because a lot of people experience and exposure is not from first-hand experience with God's word. It's not. Because it's not about lifestyle first. That's not exposure in first-hand sense. Is it? It's not about being a good boy or a good girl in what you do. It's not about the great causes you give money to. Not about Christian fellowship. It's not about helping others. Oh, wait, what? Notice so every one of those things I just named off are not inherently bad in themselves. But see what happens when you put them above the Word of God. They become primary. They become your first-hand experience and your Christian way of life. And they aren't. But we see it all the time. We see these things moved up And this is the Christian way of life. This is my first-hand exposure. What's happening is they're losing out on first-hand exposure. They're losing out on that personal word relationship with God. And these things are rising to the top. What they do is defined as their first-hand exposure. But it's not necessarily exposure unless it's with His Word. That's all I'm getting at. So they're substituting their relationship with Christ for these things. That can only come from His Word. That is absolutely it. And what do you end up with when you don't get first-hand exposure? You can't get an intimate relationship. It's impossible. You can't do it. If you're trying to get to know someone through email or text or even a phone conversation, you know you can't fully do that unless you're with them. Can't do it. You got to see them. You got to know them to the extent that you know them. And we can do that through God's Word. We have perception in our soul where we can see very clearly. Very, very clearly. So this all seems very logical. I mean, straightforward. It seems straightforward, doesn't it? But we see this all the time. People give lip service to direct first-hand exposure. That's there. I know that's there. I'll get to that part. But I've got a lot of other stuff to do in the Christian life. I got a lot of other people to go see. I got a lot of other people to go help. But yeah, that first-hand exposure, the Word of God, that, I'll get there. There's a problem with that. Because everything boils out of your first-hand exposure from what you're doing right now. Everything. I mean, so we need to just do a flip. Because there's nothing wrong with those things that we're doing. Not at all. Those things are good things. But they aren't first-hand exposure. Your life is ruled and regulated by that first-hand exposure. And when it starts to be governed by those things that you do, which are all good things, but when it starts to be governed by those things, that's when we start to separate ourselves from the Word of God. And we start to get into a territory that is gray. And that's not a good place to be, because that's where when we can just completely fall and land flat on our face. Spiritually. So, just remember that the Christian way of life consists of thinking. Thinking, 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 thinking. It consists of thinking. If it's not in your thoughts first, it will not be in the external. It can't be. You can fake the external all day. But if it's not in your thinking, it's not there. It's not there. It's about motivation, remember? It's not about men. It's not about what I see. It's not about what I interpret you're doing. It's about coming clean with God. That's what this is about. And that's a thought process. That includes fellowship, obviously. First-hand exposure. The Word of God. That's the only thing that changes our thinking, isn't it? The Word. Not the things that you do. They'll distract you, is what they'll do. They will distract you. If you want those things to change your thinking, they're not going to change your thinking. The only thing that changes our thought process is the Word of God. That's it. That's it. And the fact still remains that it takes positive volition. It takes positive volition. In everything that you do in the spiritual life, it takes positive volition. These things that we just talked about that are all inherently good, they don't require positive volition. Because positive volition seeks firsthand exposure to the Word. That's spiritual growth, Christian spiritual growth. That's the desire. That's the hunger. And we have that hunger. We want to know what the Word of God says. That's why we're here, because we know we have a purpose. We know we're moving forward to grow. We see what the Word of God says, and we know we're on a mission. And we're going to talk about that too. But we know there's a purpose here. And it's not just to put those things above and just kind of float through life like an angel. That's not going to work. Everybody looks at you like you're an angel too, and you might like it. But guess what? It just doesn't work at the end of the day. And you realize that, and when you realize that, you're positive, and you want to know a little bit more detail. You want to get under the details so you can do those same exact things and still be firsthand exposed to the Word of God. There, now we're talking. See how that comes first, first priority, and then everything else just flows out of that. Then you can apply grace in everything that you do, in who you serve, and who you love unconditionally, by the way. Everything changes. Every single thing. You're not looking for approval from men anymore. You were before, because that's what was your MO on why you were doing the things you were doing. But now you're there to serve God. You're there to serve the Lord. Your entire motivation changes. And you can still do these things, but now you're glorifying God. Now they're counting. See, effective Christianity is a huge topic. It is huge. There's so many. We don't need any more ineffective Christians. We've got enough. We've got enough of them. We need more effective Christians. Effective. So, positive volition, that's what it's all about. He's given us everything we need to know to get to know Him. Everything. There is no excuses when it comes to, I didn't know, I didn't have the information, I wasn't in the right place. God gives us everything. You're part of that. I'm part of that. And where is it all rooted in? The Word of God. We have the completed canon of Scripture in the church age. That's unique. That's different pre-100 AD or 96. Whatever date you pick. We're different because we are in the church age post-canon. Completed canon. So what does that mean for us? We've got every single thing that we need to grow spiritually. God doesn't talk to you in your room because we have His Word that He talks to us from. We have His Word. I'm not saying He doesn't guide you, because He will guide you. And you will know what direction to go in. Guaranteed. Because He will open and He will close doors. He will do it. So, firsthand exposure, that's what it's all about. He's given us everything we need. And when we come to that point in our life when it's time to move on to the next, after the physical, guess what? We've got no hesitation. That's where we should all be. At the end of the day, when we get to that point, we should have no hesitation about transitioning. None. None at all. If you're not there, you need to get there. Because I'm willing to bet there are plenty of people that are going to have excuses, are going to be pleading, begging. I didn't know this and that. Oh, come on, can I have a few more years, God? This is way too early. I'll get it right this time. I swear I'll go back and do it all right again. Can you imagine how much of that's going to be out there? We want to be just ready to step off into the next place. That's how comforting we should be in our souls, because we're saturated. And that's positive volition. You're not going to get there by having fun, floating along in this life, because there's a lot of fun to be had. And we all know there is. And it can be had. But it's got to be done in the right way. If you're glorifying God in that fun, guess what? It's even more fun. Even more fun. Because you realize that that's not, that fun doesn't rule your life. God rules your life. So, and that's really what it boils down to is positive volition. To absolute truth of God's Word. And that's how we know the reality of a situation. Absolute truth for us allows us to see things the way they really are. Why don't people want to know that? We do want to know that. We want to know the truth of the situation. We want to know what's true. We want to know how do I become happy? How do I solve problems? Because you'll get 1,000 different answers. No, we want absolute truth. And that's why we're all here, because we know that answers are in the Word of God. Every single answer, a scripture that we're going to cover later, we see that what God has provided through His scripture is everything for this life to be lived. Every single thing. Everything. And that just positive volition, all that boils down to is, do you want it or not? I don't know. That's up to each one of y'all. There's different levels of positive volition. Not everybody here is the same positive level as someone else. All of y'all are different. Do you notice that? Everybody's different. And the more positive you become, the more fulfilled you will be. You can never go wrong by becoming more positive, by becoming more focused in your spiritual life. You can't. It's an impossibility. The Word of God tells us just the opposite. Fulfillment, happiness, solutions to your problems. And that's how we do it, by becoming more and more focused on your spiritual growth. Number one priority. So our goal should be to just continue. Yes, we are positive, and we do know that, but there's always more to be had. There's always more to be had when it comes to being positive to the Word of God. And that this is what knowing here, that I may know Him in our verse, is referring to. The mental discipline to receive firsthand knowledge of the detail in the Word of God. That's cut and dry. That's just, it may be boring to a lot of people, but that's just the facts of life. That's what I'm telling you. And we've just got to sit and listen and learn and study. I know those are so boring. We'd rather be out jumping out of planes and glorifying God. But I'm telling you, this is how we do it. This is where it all starts. Right here. Right here. First-hand knowledge in the detail. And since you've all had exposure to first-hand spiritual information, I know you have, what does that mean for you? It means that you can explain some of these concepts to people you know. Not a lot of people care to know or want to know or have any idea about the Word of God and the spiritual life as it's designed in His Word. So the fact that you are here and you know certain things, you can explain things in a different way. You can provide a different perspective to people that may not even be positive, but when you allow them to see things differently, they may make them think. It might make them think a little bit different on how they're living, and there's going to be an end time, and we need to start thinking about what's going on here in this time right here where we're at. Because we're all held accountable, and especially us. We've been exposed to the details. We've been exposed. And a lot of these people are starting to come to a place where they weren't positive, but they're in the kind of a limbo where they could very well be positive. That's where our country's going. That's how there's so much religion in our country. People are starting, all that floating around they've been doing, they're starting to come down to the ground, and they're starting to look other places. And I'm telling you, people are getting positive. They're starting to look a little bit more. Start to pay attention. Because when you see persecution start to come in our country, people will get positive. That's how the Word, that's how God works. When people reject Him, people become positive. And our country is not completely positive right now. Guarantee you that. But people are waking up. People are seeming to wake up very slowly. Very slowly. Because if you want to know it, guess what? It's kind of hard to find. And that's not good. That's not a good place. If you want to keep floating, you can find that easy. You can find that around every corner. I think there's about 15 churches in Dayton. Probably more. I don't know. I don't know how many of them teach the Word of God, but I'd be willing to bet 99% don't. So we've been exposed, and we have the ability to explain and to realize that people may be looking for something else. They may be looking for something else. Because that's the bottom line, is seeking. Seeking. After people have sought out in certain directions long enough, you get to the point you kind of throw up your hands. And you say, what else is there? Well, that's where you come in. You can fill that gap. You can direct. You can guide. You can show them, hey, there is actually a place to seek and find, because you're not going to find it anywhere out there. And they know that because they've already sought that out. They've already been seeking. We've sought that out before. We've all done it, but some people do it a lot longer than others. And when you finally get to that point, sometimes they just do a 180. And they say, okay, that's it. That's it. I'm not letting go of that, because that's truth. It's not me, by the way. This is the Word of God. Not me. Nothing I can do to change this stuff. Why would I want to change it? So, firsthand exposure. And not only that, but many people in here have the gift of teaching. The gift of explaining. There's many teachers in here. I know there's many teachers. A lot of y'all are teachers. Whether it be at home or in the school. A lot of y'all can teach. Some of y'all can explain things that I can't explain in a way like that. You can show kids. You have more patience than maybe men do. Yeah, believe it or not. I can explain, but only like two, three times. And then I'm toast. Y'all can have the ability to explain in a different way. If you have more patience, guess what? It comes across a lot better, especially to a child. They really don't understand why you're not patient. And really, it has to do with love. Unconditional love includes patience. Don't worry, I'm working on it. It includes patience. We all need patience. We all need patience. So you have, there's many gifts in here. And that's part of the deal, is about recognizing that you have an ability, God-given ability, and then you combine that with a bunch of lukewarm believers, and guess what you have? You might have something working there. You might have something in the making that you can help, that you can maybe, you know, get moving, maybe get a little motivation under them, because there's a lot of lukewarm believers out there. There's more of those than atheists or unbelievers. Lukewarm believers. That's what the United States consists of right there. Lukewarm believers. That's what we are. We're a country of lukewarm believers. But guess what? That's not what's preserving this country. It's not lukewarm believers. It's believers like yourselves that are wanting the details, wanting to live in a righteous way, God's way. That's what's preserving the country right now. Not the majority. Not the majority. They aren't the ones in the spiritual battle that count. God isn't using them like He's using you. He's not doing it. He's using them to test you, to grow you. But He's not using them to defeat, to win, to glorify Him. That's where we're talking about. Y'all are on a different level than most people outside. Do you understand that? You're in service and you're winning. You're glorifying God. We're talking about spiritual battle now. Spiritual battle. Some of y'all just think, oh, just living day to day, eat, sleep, go. Wake up. This is spiritual battle. Wake up. It's not a game. I guess we'll figure that out when we die. Oh, wait, that wasn't a game. Well, dang it. That'll probably be Rex, those darn video games. Wasn't a game. So, well, needless to say, that who God is using is important. And that is, I think, a good place to stop. And we'll pick up with the same thought in the second service. Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you for the growth process. We know you have it designed in such a way that we can take advantage of it and that we can learn it, utilize it. And if we do so, you promised in your word that it is where everything in life is found, including happiness, including spiritual growth, including blessings, including everything that we can ever imagine and want and desire, even on this earth. It comes through knowledge of you. That's where it comes. And we thank you for providing that, every single bit of it, through your Son, Jesus Christ. Because without him, we wouldn't have an opportunity to even be a part of this, even be a part of growing spiritually. None of this sermon meant anything to us if it wasn't for Jesus Christ, which his role, his mission was to come and to die for the sins of the entire world. And he did that because you still wanted a relationship with us, even though we were sinners. And the only way to complete that circle was to have the penalty paid by a perfect person. Had to be God, had to be man in one, and that was Jesus Christ. And he paid the penalty, he died on the cross, and he was resurrected. And because of that, you wrapped it up and you offered it to us. You said, here, you want to still be in this relationship? Do you want to still live for eternity? Be saved? Guess what? It's free. It's absolutely free. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. That's what your word says, and we're so grateful for it. We're so thankful for it, and we owe you our life for it. Thank you for these things. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.